Everyone having a good day today? You made it at least, right? And good stuff. I want to give you a couple of announcements as we get started today. And I think I turned you off. There we go. First one is this, is that tonight we have very important service, and it's our ministry night service, and we're going to be highlighting some of the events that we have coming up this year on our church calendar. Hope you picked up a church calendar already and be looking at that and dates that have been planned and prepared for, and we'll give a little bit more details about some of those events. And so tonight we'll be covering some of those and explaining some of the things going on in the church this year. And then also we'll be talking about some projects and plans that we have planning to come up for this year. So 6 o'clock tonight, our ministry night service, I encourage everyone to be here and be part of that service. One of those that I want to encourage you with and remind you about is we have our marriage conference coming up at the end of this month. I believe it's the 30th and the 31st. I didn't write the dates down. Let me take a peek at it real quick. But I want to encourage our married couples about planning to be at the marriage conference. It's a Friday night and a Saturday morning. I'm double checking. Yes, it's 30th and 31st. It's $25 per couple. And that'll cover some refreshments. We'll have you bring some desserts. That's one of the highlights of the marriage conference as well. And Pastor Mrs. Tharp will be, he'll be preaching at the teaching at the marriage conference. And then she'll have a ladies session she'll teach as well. It's a Friday night and a Saturday morning. So I encourage you to set aside that time and plan to be here for that marriage conference. And then other announcement I want to give you, I believe we have more out there still, but we have Bible reading schedules. We are almost a couple weeks into the new year, which is strange to say that it seems like it goes pretty quickly once you get started. But as you start this year, if you would help me out, and not help me out, but if you would help yourself out, pick up a reading schedule, keep up with your Bible reading for this year, and maybe you're the paper person, maybe you're the digital person, whatever one that you are, and encourage you to keep up with that as we begin this new year. All right, as we start the lesson today, I want to encourage you to turn over to Matthew chapter number 6. We have our basic training lessons. We have these lessons the first 8 weeks of every year and cover the same basic training lessons. You think, why do we cover the same things? Well, you heard it said before, repetition is the key to learning. And we can never get enough foundation in our life, especially when it comes to the Bible. And making sure that foundation's right. And the Bible says that that we may have an answer to give to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that lieth in you with meekness and in fear. So another reason why we teach it, you say, well, I already know that I'm saved. I already have the Bible situation figured out, and I have my beliefs settled. Well, also so that we can make sure that we know we're grounded in the Word of God, and we can then explain that to others as well, what you believe and why, and give Bible verses to back what you believe. There's a lot of false religions out there, and they have a whole lot of beliefs, but there's a lot of false beliefs. And so let's make sure we know what we believe and why, be able to explain that for myself and then for others as well. Basic training lesson we started last week was on the subject of salvation and eternal security. I won't cover in detail, but to know that you're saved, that you're going to heaven, that once God gives you salvation, He'll never take it away. Salvation is nothing you can earn. To either to get it or to keep it. And it's given to you, that gift of eternal life. Know that you are saved. If you don't know that, look in the Word of God. And the Bible will tell you what salvation is, and false religion and false beliefs will get you off track. And so know for sure that you are saved and a child of God. Number two, we're going to look at the subject of prayer this morning, prayer. And I'd like to encourage you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter number 6. Matthew 6, and we'll read through the Lord's Prayer here, and really, it's the model prayer. Jesus Christ is not praying this prayer, but He's giving us a model prayer, because the disciples, again, the only thing they asked Jesus how to do is they said, Lord, teach us to pray, and Jesus Christ was giving them an example, an outline, if you will, on how to pray. I know many people will take the Lord's Prayer, and they'll pray that Lord's Prayer every day, every night. And it's not evil or wrong to pray that, but the Bible does say not to pray with vain repetitions, just saying the same thing over and over and over again. Why? God wants to hear from your heart, right? Not just a quoted prayer. He wants to hear from your heart. Matthew chapter 6. Why don't we pray real quick, and then we'll get to the scripture and the message today. Thank you, Lord, for this blessed morning, this good day. Thank you for the Word of God to teach us in our life, to ground us in the truth. And thank you, Lord, for this church, for the Word of God. Thank you for this day. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. By the way, I was going to mention, how many of you remembered we were starting right at 10 o'clock today? I'm trying to remember myself, because if I say something, we probably should do it too. I should do it too. I went on the Sunday school class and I was like, okay, just a reminder. And so anyway, if you're sneaking in a few minutes late, we won't call you out. Matthew chapter number 6. I won't, others might, you know. But Matthew 6, verse number 5. And I want you to look carefully at what the Bible says about prayer, what it is and what it is not. Matthew 6, verse 5, it says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest," you understand there's the difference, right? Many people are praying today, but vain prayers for other people to hear, or praying to a dead God. How sad is that? Praying to a God that can't hear you, that can't answer prayers. And so don't pray as the hypocrites. Do not to be seen or to be heard of men, but praying to God. It says, "But thou," in verse number 6, "but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet." It's a place of secret, alone time with God. "And when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking." You know, God's not looking for flattering words, right? Now, we should be reverent in our prayers, honoring to the Lord, and not flippant as we pray, as you would kind of joke with a friend or using irreverent names for God. We should be reverent to God, but also you're talking to God. You get to spend time speaking to the Lord. Verse number 8, it says, "Be therefore like, be not ye therefore like unto them," I got it right, "for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask them." Then he says, "After this manner, therefore pray ye." And it says, "As our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses." So we see the model prayer that Jesus Christ tells him, "After this manner, therefore pray ye." Prayer sometimes can seem to be a daunting task, maybe for a new Christian, maybe for an older Christian. You think, well, what do I pray? What do I say? And so when you pray, the Bible gives us an example on how to pray and how not to pray. So let me give you just a few thoughts about that today. First of all, when you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you and you become a child of God at that very moment. And when you get saved, it opens up the avenue of prayer. It opens up that door of communication with the Lord. God always hears and knows and sees everything, but God hears the prayer of the righteous, of a saved person. And when you get saved, when you become a child of God, God hears and answers the prayer of that saved person, and you get that open line of communication with the Lord. So at the moment of salvation, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you. You're a child of God, and God opens up the door of prayer to where you can call on God anytime, anywhere, any place. Isn't that a blessing? I want to encourage you to turn over to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 14. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 14. Turn towards the back of your Bibles. Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James, if that helps you at all, before the Peters and the Johns and all those in the back of the Bible. Hebrews chapter 4, or scroll down your phone till you get towards the end, all right? Hebrews 4, verse number 14, the Bible says this, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens," who is this great high priest? Jesus, the Son of God. He is our high priest. let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So Jesus Christ is our high priest. We don't need to go to someone to have them talk to God for us. Now, you can ask someone to pray for you, with you. It should really be with you. But we can go, we have direct access to God through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He is our high priest. Why? Because he died on the cross. He is the payment, the sacrifice for our sins. He became our high priest. Look at verse number 16. It says, let us therefore, because we have this great high priest, Jesus Christ, you're the Son of child of God, let us therefore come, what's the next word? Boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. See, as a child of God, it opens up that door, that line of communication with God, because Jesus Christ is your Savior. He is that go-between. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 2, verse 5, it says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. See, some religions believe that you go talk to the priest and he goes and closes his door and you talk to him and you confess your sins and he prays to God for you to absolve you of your sins. That is absolutely not biblical whatsoever. Again, praying for one another, yes. But you don't need to, please, don't come to me and confess all your sins, all right? I don't want to hear them all right? But there is one mediator, the go-between, the Bible says, mediator between God and men. It's the man Christ Jesus. We have direct access to God because Jesus Christ is your Savior, if you're a child of God, and you can go directly to God in prayer. Isn't that great? Anytime, as you're driving, you're brushing your teeth, all right, eating a bowl of cereal, whatever you're doing throughout the day, washing the dishes, you can spend time with God, and guess what? God is always listening. He's always ready to hear. Think about this. Could you imagine having a direct phone line to the president? And he picks up every time. All right? Now, maybe you do, maybe you don't. But just for illustration's sake, you had a direct phone line to the president. And anytime you wanted, you can make that phone call and say, I have a question. What's going on over here? Who are we bombing today? All right? Who are we? I don't know. And you could ask a question. You could ask a favor. Tell him your needs. And you could call anytime, and he answers every single time. And if someone told you that today, you wouldn't believe him, would you? Say, I could call the White House right now. The president will pick up every time. Watch this. And you pick up that phone and you call. Even better than that, can you imagine having a direct phone line to talk to God? The God of this universe, more important than any person or position of any sort, that you can call and talk to the God of this universe any moment, any time, and share your needs. And not only can he talk to you, but he can talk to everyone at the same time. Why? Because he is God. You never get that call waiting, right? You never get the busy tone and the person that has never set up their voicemail and doesn't leave a message on their voicemail. So you don't know who you're leaving a voicemail for. I'm always like, I don't know if I'm talking to the right person or not, but in any case, God says in Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will, what? Answer thee. Amen? Call unto me and I will answer. Not, I miss phone calls, right? And I feel bad. You know, like, no one answers the phone every time. And let's be honest, I don't want to answer the phone every time. Sometimes you're like, I'll call him back later. I don't want to have that conversation right now. Call unto me and I will answer thee, God said, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. You have that avenue of prayer, the opening to talk to God, where God will pick up, he will listen, and he will show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Isn't that incredible? We can talk to God any moment, any time, any day. Think about this. God wants to talk to you. Amen? You're never bothering God by talking to him. Never. He wants to hear from you. He's begging to hear from you. He wants to spend time with you. He wants to talk to you through prayer, and he wants to hear from you in prayer as well. You know, prayer is a two-way street. I think sometimes we think, well, prayer is just me doing all the talking. You ever been in one of those one-sided conversations before that you thought, I'm never getting out of this conversation? This person may never take a breath. They may never pause. And you think, someone call me, some emergency show up so I can get out of the conversation. And you get stuck. Listen, when we pray, it's not just me talking to God. It's me listening to God as well. God wants to talk to you in prayer. And God wants you to talk to Him. Why? Because God wants to have a relationship with you. That's what prayer is about. God wants a relationship with you. Now, God owns us. I'm bought with a price. But God doesn't just own you and you're saved going to heaven. But He wants a closeness with you. The book of James says, draw nigh to God and He will draw nigh unto you. God is just waiting for you to come and talk to Him. He already knows you have a need. We saw that in the verses here. He knows you have a need. He just wants to hear from you. He wants you to come and spend time with Him. What prayer is not? I mentioned this already, but prayer is not a fancy show of words, as the Pharisees do. They stand up on the street corners and they have all the fancy words to say. God doesn't need fancy words or vain repetitions. He just wants you to talk to Him. Say, well, how do I talk to God? You know, the Bible says He's our friend, right? Well, how do you talk to a friend? Now, again, reverently, with honor, but God just wants to hear from you and wants you to talk to Him. I believe it's safe to say that every religion has a form of prayer. You know, people that are praying to gods all over the place. And it's always sad to me when you see people that are praying to statues, they're praying to pictures, they're praying to an image on the wall, they're praying to nature or to animals. They're praying to all kinds of different things in this world, and I think, but they're not going to answer you. I always think about Elijah on Mount Carmel. You ever think about that? And Elijah on Mount Carmel, and they have the sacrifice they're going to offer. And Elijah said, okay, the prophets of Baal, you go and get your sacrifices, and the God that answers by fire, that's the one that's the one true God. And he said, why don't you go first, right? he obviously knew how it was going to turn out, had a great faith in God, that God was going to come through for him. And so they go and they offer their sacrifices and they pray to their God. They were sincere, weren't they? They were religious. They believed in what they were doing and who they were praying to, but their God answered them not a single word. And Elijah over there kind of mocks him a little bit, and he says, maybe he's on a journey. Maybe he's sleeping and he can't hear you. And they were getting angry and they were cutting themselves. They were so sincere in their prayers, but their God did not hear a word because they were not praying to the true God of heaven. Then Elijah stops and he prays, and fire comes down from heaven, and God answered Elijah. See, having a prayer life is, again, not a fancy show of words, and it's not about being religious. It's about spending time with God, and it's about God wanting to spend time with you. Number one today, and I'll give you a few points today, just some, I believe, some, I hope, practical truths about the subject of prayer. Number one, I mentioned this a bit already. We'll cover it again a bit, but prayer is simply talking to God. Prayer is simply talking to God. Sometimes we make things more complicated than they have to be. And prayer is, I'm talking to God, and God is talking to me. Sometimes we think, well, what do I say, and how do I say it? And again, be reverent. The Lord's Prayer starts out with, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Be reverent in your prayer. Be honoring to God, but it's simply talking to God. Let me ask you this. You're family member calls you haven't seen in a while. Your child calls you, or a parent, and someone calls you maybe from out of town, and they give you a call, and you think, man, they're calling to talk to me. Isn't that kind of special? You want to pick up the phone and have a conversation. How are you doing? What's going on? And I'm thankful for that avenue of calling, FaceTiming. My kids love that. Usually not a whole lot of conversation happens when we FaceTime. A whole lot of yelling, jumping around, and all the stuff, you know. You ever get on a FaceTime with one of the little kids, you know, and you're like, I'm getting motion sickness. Someone take the phone because I can't handle this anymore. And just having a conversation, you know, you can around the world have a conversation and see someone face to face in just a moment. What a great avenue that we have. But that avenue of prayer has been open from the moment that you got saved. Let me encourage you with this. Get alone with God with no distractions. Today, it's a hard thing to get alone with no distractions. Turn the phone off, turn the TV off, tell the kids to leave you alone for a few minutes. Get alone with God and spend time with God in Bible and prayer every single day. Get alone with God, limit the distractions, and just talk to God. If you've been talking to God before and you got distracted, you're praying and you're spending time with God, and all of a sudden your mind's like, oh, I forgot to do that. Oh, I meant to send this text, and I forgot to, you know, I need to schedule this for today. And your mind starts going on that rabbit trail. You ever been there? And my mind starts going. Sometimes I'll be like, okay, if I write this down, I can get back to like focusing on what I'm praying about. Try to limit those and say, God, let me just spend some time with you. Limit all the distractions of work and family and all the things, all the good things. But your relationship with God is the most important relationship you will ever have in your life. So put aside everything. You ever been talking to someone before? And as you're talking to them and you're having this important conversation, and they pick up their phone and they're starting to do this, and you're like, I was talking to you. This was important to me. And they, oh yeah, da, da. And you're like, who am I? Am I invisible? Did I just disappear? And you think, oh, I feel very important right now, right? You've all been there, and we've probably all done that to someone else as well. When you're talking with God, silence all the distractions and just talk to God. Just spend time with God. If God's going to stop and take time for you, then we should stop and spend time with Him. Get alone with God. Talking with God, share your heart. Say, what do I talk to God about? Share your heart. Again, God already knows your needs. And guess what? God already knows what you're going to face throughout the day. He already knows it all. So just share your heart with God. Say, I don't feel like talking to God about this. Why? He already knows. There's nothing hidden to God. Share your heart. Share your needs. Share your worries, your fears, your day. And say, God, I just need to talk to you. Right? Sometimes you go to talk to someone and you're like, oh, I feel better just talking to you about it. And, you know, people can help you with things and maybe encourage you or maybe take something off your load. But no one can help you like God. Amen? No one can help you like God. So when you go to God and say, God, I just want to share my heart with you today. This is what's on my heart. When you start the day, when you end the day, I just want to spend time in prayer talking to you, Lord. In the book of Exodus, Moses went to speak to God, and in chapter 33 it says, and the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. Face to face, and God spoke to Moses. Now they didn't see each other face to face. God said no one has seen God face to face at any time. But he spoke to him as a man speaks to a friend. Again, sometimes we think, well, because I haven't seen God, and because of who God is, I can't really talk to God. You feel like I shouldn't even be talking to you. I don't want to bother you. But God wants to speak to you as someone would speak to a friend. Someone that cares and said, hey, you're not bothering me. I just want to talk to you and I want to listen to you. Prayer is simply talking to God. Number two, prayer is getting right with God. When you talk to God, and you can share what's on your heart, but prayer is about getting things clean and right with God. Why? Because every day sin builds up in our lives. We live in a sinful world and we are fleshly sinful people. And every day spending time with God and getting things clean and right with God. In Matthew 6 verse 12, if you didn't stay there, that's all right. And it says this, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Part of the Lord's Prayer is about getting things clean and right with God. Prayer is a cleansing time. Just as every day, I hope, you brush your teeth, take a shower, change your clothes. Why? You want to be clean, don't you? I hope. I didn't get an amen on that one, but I hope so. And you do the things to stay clean physically on the outside. You know, you ever put something on and went, where'd that spot come from? Or you pick it up and you go, why does it smell? And you're like, oh, I'm not wearing that today. I don't want to be dirty. I don't want people to look like I've got a goofy big old stain on my clothes that they're going to go, what's that right there? but more importantly, your heart, getting it right with God. If we're going to clean the outside of our body every day and take care of the body that God has given to you, how much more important is it for us to spend time with God in prayer, making sure your heart is clean and right with God? Why? Because sin is building up every day. That sin, that dirt is piling up. And when you go to God in prayer, you get that cleansed and clean, and God forgives you. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Every single day, getting right with God. You know, when you pray and get things right with God, be specific with God. Say, God, I'm sorry I thought that. I'm sorry I said that. And be specific and say, God, would you forgive me and help me to do right today? Ask, you know, Lord, forgive me for everything I might have done in the last 24 hours. Well, that's pretty casual and, to be honest, a little bit callous, isn't it? Say, God, forgive me. I messed up here. And I messed up here, and you know I messed up here. Lord, forgive me. Help me to do right today. And you get that forgiven, and you start the day clean. You ever started the day and you looked around the house and went, what did we do yesterday? And the house just starts a mess, right? And it's just like, what happened, everyone? And you started a mess. But isn't it nice when you start the day and you start and it's like everything's clean and put away and things are, no, it's not all perfect and right, but you start the day clean and right. You're like, oh, we got a good start on the day. Same thing in your life. Starting the day clean and getting it right with God. Confess your sin. Number three, prayer is asking for your needs. And I'm not going in order here through the Lord's Prayer, but in Matthew 6:11, it says, give us this day our daily bread. Give us our daily bread. Anyone have any needs here today? Well, of course you do. Everyone has needs. And so many times we have the needs that we have in our lives, but many times here's what we do. Well, here's what I can do to take care of my need, and here's what I can do to take care of my need. And instead of stopping and saying, God, here's my needs, would you please provide? Here's my needs, would you provide my daily bread that I need for today? Everyone has needs. Health needs, financial needs, relationship needs, worries or fears or questions. Everyone has needs in life. And when you take those before the Lord, you know what? It's never wrong to ask for prayer for anything, right? And to say, God, would you provide today? As Americans, we live in so much of abundance, right? We live in so much abundance that many times we don't have, I'm not saying any needs, but maybe needs like people around the world may face on a daily basis. And so many times we take things for granted. Oh, there's food in the cupboard and there's money in the bank account and the car is running until they're not running and it's not working and it's empty and you go, God, would you please provide? Now, none of us like to be without, but when you go without and you have a need and you stop and say, God, would you please provide my needs today? We've gotten in the habit lately when we pull in a parking lot to pray for a parking spot. And many times I'm with the kids and we'll pull a parking lot. I went to Costco yesterday. It was crazy in there. I don't know why we went there around lunchtime. And we're pulling in. I said, Lord, would you please provide a parking spot? Would you please provide one close to the front, you know? And we pull in, and I found an aisle that looked like I could get out of, like, the line. So I pulled in an aisle, and God didn't provide one parking spot. He provided two. We had options even. I thought, thank the Lord. There was cars everywhere. And I said, thank the Lord. He provided an open spot. That's not just by chance that God provides for the needs when you pray for them. And when you ask from God, don't you think God wants to answer those needs? Right? He wants to. He is waiting and ready. Turn, if you will, over to Matthew chapter number 7. Matthew chapter 7. Now, prayer is not about getting everything that you want. Right? That's when we become spoiled brats, all right? Prayer is not about getting everything you want. He's not a genie in a bottle, and he's not Santa Claus where you tell him what you want and he shows up to give you whatever you've asked for. But look in Matthew chapter 7, verse number 7. And it says this, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be open. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? That sounds a little bit evil, doesn't it? If ye then, being evil, sinners, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? See, God has all the good things ready and waiting for you in his timing and in his will. Don't forget that. Say, God, I asked for it. Why don't I have it? Well, let's not be spoiled in God's will and God's timing. But God wants to give you the good things in your life if you'll just stop and ask. But many times we're too busy to stop and ask, aren't we? Right? Well, I've got to go here and I've got to do this and take care of it all. What if you just paused and prayed for God to provide for the needs? The Bible says you have not because you what? You ask not. Why? You know, why do we have all this? Maybe you have the problems because we've not been praying like we should. Doesn't mean God's going to take away all the problems or give you everything you need, but God will help provide for you when you go to him in prayer. Asking for your needs, but asking for the needs of others. When you pray, there's nothing wrong and there's everything right about praying for yourself and your family and your needs. You should do that. But praying for the needs of others as well. There's needs all around this world. I left it on the prayer line. I can't say it over the internet about one of our missionaries I'm praying for. And I encourage you to call the prayer line, our missionary in Venezuela. And an update, I was able to hear back from him yesterday. Pray for the needs of others. Pray for the needs of your family and your church and your country. Bring the needs before God. Prayer is submitting to God's will. Lastly today, prayer is submitting to God's will. In Matthew chapter 6, verse number 10, it says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." Again, prayer is not about getting everything I want and forcing God to do my will. We better be careful we don't tell God what to do and think that we're in charge. We better back up a minute. Our Father, you're in charge, which art in heaven. You know, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Prayer is about submitting to God's will. When you start your day and you pray and you thank God for God's blessings, right? When you start your day and you thank God for God's blessings, and then you pray and ask God for the needs that you have, and you bring those before God, you get clean and right with God, our prayer time should also be part of submission. Submission, humbling to God and submitting to God in his way and his will. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Again, prayer is not about getting what I want and doing what I want. That's a selfish life, isn't it? A lot of selfish people in the world. Just get out of my way. This is what I want. But God, I want to do your will. Come into God and say, God, I need wisdom to make godly and right and biblical decisions in my life. God, give me wisdom. The Bible says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. They give it to all men liberally and abradeth not. And it shall be given him. Pray for wisdom. Say, God, I need wisdom today for decisions. Do you need wisdom in your life today? Well, all of us do, of course. I need wisdom. I don't know what I'm going to face the rest of today. Lord, I need wisdom. I don't know what problems might be facing in front of me or people that might need help or someone's path that I cross. Lord, I need wisdom today. The book of Proverbs, I encourage you about reading a proverb a day. Proverbs is all about getting wisdom in your life. The Bible says wisdom is the principal thing in your life. The most important thing you could have in your life is wisdom. So God, I need wisdom to do your will, not my will. Lord, I need wisdom to say what you want, not what I want. Amen? I need wisdom today to make right decisions. Submitting to God's will, Lord, I need direction today. I need wisdom, but I need direction. I know those are very similar as well, but Lord, I need direction from you. What path do I take? What step do I take? You know, sometimes you get decisions that come in front of you, and you think, next year I need to make a big decision in this area. Well, pray about it. Sometimes you need to make a very quick decision. And just a quick moment that could save your life. and you need to pray for wisdom and direction so that in that moment, you know that God is directing your path and directing your steps. There's safety, there's blessing going in God's direction. Why? God has a plan for your life. And every day when I start the day and say, God, I want to do your plan, I want to go on your path today, not mine. That's what prayer's about. So Christian, did you start your day today in prayer? Did you start today and say, God, I need your help today. Lord, I submit to you. Lord, I want to be clean and right. I want to do your will. Lord, I have some needs today. I don't know about you, but I never feel like I've ever prayed enough. Right? I think, how could I pray for everyone that I need to in a single day? Well, you can't. So what do? For prayer, have a time, have a place, and have a plan. Very, very simple. Have a time, have a place, and have a plan. Now, again, maybe you're praying as you go, but I think it's important to stop and pray as well. And say, Lord, I'm gonna spend some time with you, just as you would spend time with someone else. And I make appointments every week. I'm going to meet you at this time and this place, and let's talk about this. Why don't we stop and set a time with God? Say, God, I'm going to talk to you at this time every day. And get a place, quiet, alone. Now, maybe your quiet, alone place is as you're driving to work every day. Spend time with God in prayer. The Bible says, pray without ceasing. Always talking to God. And have a plan. So what do you pray? Have some kind of a schedule that you pray. Now, not robotic, but do you have people that you pray for every day? Do you have prayer needs? If you don't have some kind of a prayer list, you're going to forget. And so am I. Because none of us have that great of a memory, right? We're going to forget. You ever said, I'm going to pray for you. And then all of a sudden a week went by and you went, I forgot to pray for them. That's right. Write it down somewhere. Have a prayer list, a schedule. Praying, getting your heart, praying for you, praying for your family, praying for your church, for this country, praying for the needs of others in your life. Have some kind of a plan that you follow, some kind of a schedule, not being robotic, but saying, God, I want to pray for you. And maybe you can't pray for everything every day, of course, but maybe you could pray for these on Monday and then this group on Tuesday, and you could kind of break that up throughout the week and then cycle through that. Once a week, whatever your prayer life is today, what if it got a little bit better tomorrow? What if we spent a couple more minutes in prayer tomorrow? What if we just got alone with God and just had some real time with God? Prayer, such an important part of our life. Just want to challenge and encourage you about the subject of prayer as we look in the Word of God. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll take the offering and then dismiss in a moment. We do thank you, Lord, for this time that we can come.